official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Lauren Rubinson, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lori Rubinson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan. At 888-808-1019. Producing tonight, we say goodbye to Paulie. Goodbye, Paul. And hello, Jack Carty. He'll be with you through the overnight. Peter Schwartz on the update. C-Mac coming to you at 2 a.m. All right. Here's the show. Here are the topics. Call in or hit me up on Twitter on X at L Rubinson. You want to do Mets, Yankees, hot stove, the free agency and trades, and what? Here's your question, Yankees and Mets fans. Yes, both teams have made moves. They've made some big moves, but neither team, as constructed right now, is a World Series contender. Too many holes. So, what needs to happen next? Yankees, Mets, hot stove, what needs to happen next? 888-808-1019. We'll talk about that. Jets fans, here's your question. Today, I was going to say it's a surprisingly enjoyable Jets game, but you're playing the Jaguars, a team that's dreadful, pitiful, and awful. So they're right up there in, they are now 3-11. They came in 3-10. They don't have, I know he's not having wasn't having a good season, but they don't have their starting quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. They don't have their, Pro Bowl tight end in Evan Ingram. They don't have Christian Kirk. They don't have a lot. So they're not very good. And their head coach, Doug Peterson, very likely losing his job at the end of the season. It's a bad football team. Be that as it may, the Jets that we saw on the field, forget the defense against Mac Jones, not that, not so much. But offensively, Aaron Rodgers, and in particular, Davante Adams, what we saw was two great players who will be Hall of Fame players who have that incredible chemistry, and we saw it on Sunday, and it was fun. For one day, there it was, what the Jets envisioned when they went out and got Aaron Rodgers last year before the season was flushed. This season, the promise, the hope, and then when they traded for Davante Adams, the hope, all of that, which is not happening. This team, of course, going nowhere and going to be, obviously, new GM, new head coach. They're starting to interview GMs, all of that going on. And in the middle of all of that, we have today an Aaron Rodgers throws for 289 yards, 3 touchdowns. Look, he was 16 of 30. It wasn't like he was crystal clear, crisp on every throw. But some of those throws were beautiful. Some of those throws were vintage Rodgers to Adams. He was even frisky and ran the ball 6 times for 45 yards. He was the Jets' leading rusher on the day. That's another problem and its own problem. But Davante Adams, 9 catches, 198 yards. So Rodgers throws for 289. 198 of them are to Davante Adams. 2 touchdowns, could have been a third, but the Jets, he gets the 2 touchdowns. Obviously, the long play that comes up short to the 2-yard line, the Jets decide to go in and score there. We can talk about this was a fun win. If you want to be critical, that Jeff Ulbrich is not coming back as a head coach. Very questionable time management, clock management there at the end. And why you would, in that situation, not just kneel it out a couple times, run the clock down, make them use their timeouts, get the clock down to about 15 seconds and kick a field goal. Not sure why you wouldn't do that, but the Jets decide instead to score right away, not even make them use any timeouts. So a little wonky on the clock management. But all of that being said, still, it was a fun football game for Jets fans. It was a fun win, and you certainly deserve that with all of the dreck you've been watching all season long. So that begs the question, Jets fans, when you see this, Rodgers to Adams, does it make you think that even with the new GM head coach or whatever, would you want to be running it back next year, or are you done with Aaron Rodgers and you're ready? He'll be 42 years old by next season. Are you ready to move on? 888-808-1019. And then Giant fans, we go to you. And so if you're John Mara, the owner of the New York Giants, Sunday starts for you, and picture yourself in the mindset of John Mara. And let's take you back on this whole airplane thing. So if you missed it, another Giant fan rented an airplane, flew it over the stadium before the game with a message to the Giants owner, John Mara. And this time, the plane said, "Mr. Mara, enough. We won't stop until you fire everyone." So that's the message on Sunday. If you'll remember, a week ago, there was a different fan who flew a different sign over over MetLife. And that one said, "Mr. Mara, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire." So that's what's happened the last couple of weeks. And I understand, it's funny, I was talking to Paul Rosenberg, one of my producers, earlier, and he was saying, well, I mean, do you think, you know, if John Mara is going to react to that, is it really that big a deal? And if you follow on social media, some of the writers, Giants beat writers or whatever, one of them, I'm not going to call them out, but one of them had been asking the question, like, is that really a big deal, flying the sign over the stadium? Why is it such a big deal? Because in this era, maybe it was a big deal years ago, but in this era, why is it such a big deal when owners get called out all the time? They get letters, they get emails, and they get, you know, obviously they see all of the negative fan reactions on social media. So is it really a big deal when a fan rents a plane and flies a message to the owner over the stadium? And the answer is yes. And in particular, it's a big deal for John Mara, Giants owner John Mara. Because if you know your history and your Giants history, then you know that back in 1978, a Giant fan famously flew a plane with a sign over the stadium. And it said, 15 years of lousy football, we've had enough. And with that message, after what was 15 years of lousy football and also of infighting with the family, arguments between John Mara's late father, Wellington Mara, and his uncle, Tim Mara. And there was a wrestling back and forth of control and the team and all of this. And ultimately, with the embarrassment of how bad they had been, and the public embarrassment and shame and anger of Giants fans with flying the sign over the stadium, the message sent to Wellington Mara, late Wellington Mara. Finally, in discussions even with the commissioner of the NFL, the Giants were encouraged to hire a professional general manager, which they did in George Young. And it took a few years, but 3 years later, they made the playoffs. And from there, that was 1981. From there, the Giants, by 1986, won the Super Bowl. 1990, repeated a Super Bowl, not back-to-back, but 4 years later, but a second Super Bowl title. And went from, Yeah, whether it was coaches like Dan Reeve and Bill Parcells and Jim Fossil, you know, in 2000, they went to the Super Bowl. Obviously, they got blown out that year by the Ravens in the Super Bowl, but Kerry Collins is the quarterback then. But there was a pattern and a history, and from there, you know, it was yes, of course, there was after Parcells. I'm conveniently glossing over the Ray Hanley couple years there, but there was, you know, then passing over Wellington Mara. You know, his sort of last move that he wanted was Tom Coughlin as head coach of the Giants. Had admired him when Coughlin had been a coach under Parcells and on that staff, and wanted to bring him back at that point. Coughlin had gone, you know, from the Jaguars and back to college with Boston College there, and they brought him in as the coach, and of course Ernie Accorsi famously as GM going out, trading up and getting Eli Manning, believing in him as the right quarterback in a talented quarterback class, that he would have the right DNA, comeback ability, ability to handle adversity and this marketplace in New York. And two Super Bowls followed, of course, with that group. Jerry Reese eventually replacing the protege under Accorsi. So they kept it in-house, kept it within the Giants way, the Giants family, after a history of winning. After those 15 years of lousy football, we've had enough. And the first sign, there was this history, this tradition, this Giants respectability, and four Super Bowl titles that followed, and a standard that had been set, so that when Tom Coughlin, who should frankly end up in the Hall of Fame as a coach for what he did with the Giants and the Jaguars, Tom Coughlin should be a Hall of Fame coach. He got fired. You know, you backslide and things go south, and you can fire the Hall of Fame coach who won you two Super Bowl titles. And from there, but they kept Jerry Reese, which always ticked off Tom Coughlin. They fired him, they blamed him, and kept the GM, but that didn't work. And then they swirled. And from Shermer and, you know, McAdoo, Joe Judge, and now we find ourselves, and Dave Gettleman thrown in as GM, trying to, once again, John Mara at GM, trying to think, you know, to keep it in-house, someone he knew. And then he started fresh and brought in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from the Bills. And on paper, the decision made a lot of sense, Shane and Daboll. It did. Made a lot of sense. It wasn't a flawed process. It was universally applauded as you know, smart choices, Shane and Daboll. That made sense. And the first year that they were together with the Giants unexpectedly, soft schedule, yes, but they started off well and rode that to not a fantastic record, but 9-7-1, and they made the playoffs. And then Daniel Jones probably played his best, certainly most meaningful game, and the Giants won a playoff game against Minnesota. Kind of hard to believe when you see the different directions those two teams have taken since that game a few seasons ago. And since then, we've watched Shane and Daboll. We've watched Daboll not be able to handle adversity. He could handle having accolades and being coach of the year, but he looks very much the part of a rookie head coach, a coach in his first job, trying to figure it out and having a hard time dealing with the stress and adversity that comes with losing, and losing in New York, a market with this level of media scrutiny. And for Joe Shane, I'll put this to you, for people who think, and I've seen this back and forth, obviously, on social media, and I've seen beat writers arguing this, but somebody call me in and tell me this, or you can respond on Twitter, on X, but somebody call in and tell me this. Why should the Giants keep Joe Shane or Brian Daboll? What's the case for it? Call and tell me, what's the case for it? If you want to keep, let's start with Shane. If you want to keep Joe Shane, tell me why. Why do you think he should be able to stick around after what looks like we're heading to maybe the worst season ever in Giants history? And why should Joe Shane get to stick around and decide, make a decision, if the Giants end up with a top three draft pick, to pick a quarterback and stick around for another few more years? Why should that be? What have you seen that convinces you to be confident? Tell me that. Because I don't see it. And it is time for a change. And the hard part is that John Mara both knows it, but doesn't want, he's a loyal guy, and he thinks that continuity has been part of what his problem is of late, and he doesn't want to make a change. And that's where these airplanes come in. For people who think it doesn't matter, for another owner, it would simply be an airplane over the stadium. But the John Mara, who, you know, idolized his father, Wellington Mara, and saw that airplane as the low point of his father's ownership of the New York Giants. That plane, it's a connection in history and heritage to his birthright, to his family. And it does matter. It's a message loud and clear that I think hits him in the gut. And once it happened last week, I think he woke up this morning in dread that it was going to happen again. And now he knows if he doesn't fire Shane and Daboll now, and I'm not saying you have to do something right now in the middle of the season, before the season ends, although they're the Jets getting a jump on interviewing GM candidates. But if you don't do something about it, I will guarantee you that there will be a plane flown over MetLife, over the stadium, before the last Giants home game this season against the Colts. Now, there is a reporter on the beat, on the Giants beat, who did actually speak to the fan who flew the plane, who rented the plane that flew over the stadium on Sunday. And he is Ryan Novosinski from the Star Ledger, NJ.com, and Ryan's going to join me. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So we'll dive into that. What is the meaning of the message? How much does it matter to John Mara? And what should or will the Giants do next? 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. Jack's behind the glass. Give him a call. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with your calls.